I want to welcome everybody to the meeting of the Town of Discovery Bay Community Services District. Quickly, we have the roll call.
President Pease is absent. Vice President Lee?
Here.
Director Graves, absent. Director Simon?
Here.
And Director Steele?
Here.
Could I ask you to stand and join Director Steele with a pledge of allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
At this time, we're open for public comment. If anybody has a desire to speak before the board, that would be the time.
Hello, how are you guys doing? Thank you very much. A few weeks ago, we were here, a bunch of little kids, it's just me tonight. So I don't know if a lot of you are aware, some of you may not be. We had a meeting a few weeks ago with some citizens, a lot of some team members, some town leadership about discussing just the initial idea of possibly getting a new pool here in Discovery Bay, and what procedures and what it would take to kind of get us moving in that direction, if there was even a possibility, understanding that we are a CSD unincorporated, that we don't have the revenue that is normally coming into most cities, so it's not as easy to tap into the general pot. So it's about being creative and how to make that happen. So what was discussed at that meeting was to find out if we have any interest, if the community has any interest in that, and they do. I put something just out there, just the swim team, and we already got, and I will go ahead and pass this out here to you. So we have 70 names just in about a week's time that we got people that are interested in it. The idea is we're just requesting that the CSD form an interest committee to look into the means of what it would cost. What are we looking for? B, what it would cost to do such a facility? And C, how would we fund it? Just not the construction of the facility, but the ongoing maintenance and running costs. And what would it entail? Would it be, obviously it doesn't come out of our kitty or our pot, but most likely like a bond or a measure. I think the easiest, personally, after talking with everyone there that evening, I think personally, as weird as it may sound, funding it the entire community center rather than just a pool might be actually a little bit more of an easier undertaking because you can encompass a larger group of people. But that's something that this interest committee can explore and go from there. But this is just the initial step to hopefully put it in your court now to show that there is interest there, and then that will kind of give you guys just cause to say, okay, let's look into this and see what we can do. And I know there are citizens that are interested in being on this committee to help you guys throughout the process and figure out what needs to be done, and then we become your army at that point if need be to go ahead and pitch such a project to the community and hopefully get it passed. Anybody have any questions?
Well, that's why we can't do it under public comment.
That's right.
But I think your point's well taken. We have your letter here. Staff, if you could put this on the agenda for the next Park and Recreation Committee,
sure.
And let them review it and see how we could proceed with the ideas suggested within this document.
Yeah.
Perfect. You guys all know how to get a hold of me.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
Can I comment on that? What do you
think? If you could identify yourself.
Yes, my name is Christy England. I've lived in Surrey for 14 years. So I have a son that actually entered district transfer that went to Heritage High School. He's been involved in water polo there for 3 years. He coached Seawolves of Blue Jet for 2 years. And he's pursued this to great detail because they had to actually go to Tracy to use a pool. It costs $10,000 a month just to keep the pool. So basically, he pursued it for the team. You could make money, but not for the city. It's just a money pot. So I just want to give you that information that there is a lot involved. And it sounds like a good thing, but we have no high school here. We have no, for teams. So it's just you're doing a team for 0 to 12. So So he's expressed that, you know, it's nice for the community. We have a little pool, but to build a pool here, you know, we have limited resources. I'm just giving you the information. He's giving you a little bit just to give you that. So.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Anyone else? Okay, we'll close public comment and move the area reports. Chief Henderson, he's not the cost of fire.
Good evening, board. I want to start off by congratulations to the board for receiving your awards at the California Special Districts Conference. Our delegation came back, and that was one of the first things that reported back to me. So I know how much work it takes for the whole team to win those awards at the Special District Conference. So job well done. As far as an operations report for September, district continues to be busy, 601 calls district-wide, about 8 minutes and 9 seconds. In the Discovery Bay Byron area, there were 76 calls with an average response time of 9 minutes and 53 seconds. Your engine out of Discovery Bay, total responses for the month were 17% of our total calls of 857 responses or 149 calls. On the good news of things, on Monday we started five new firefighters. This will fully get us staffed as we continue under the temporary staffing model through the end of the fiscal year. When you get a chance on your time to go through your own Facebook pages to the district's Facebook page, this month of October is Fire Prevention Month. Over the last week, we did 4 open houses. The open house at the Discovery Bay Station was on Sunday. We had a little over 100 people come through on a very rainy Sunday afternoon, so it was very nice. But you'll find on our Facebook page about a 4-minute video of just the what went on in the Discovery Bay open house. And then I really want to end on a positive note tonight. One of the things that we've been doing as part of this Fire Prevention Month, we did a fire chief for the day, and we sent flyers home in 15,000 backpacks for every school within the district and through K through 8. And right before I came here, I got to go meet our new chief for the day, who's a first grader, lives right on the Oakleaf Brentwood border in Marsh Creek. So she'll be the Jesse will be the fire chief for the day on Veterans Day, and we have a full day planned for the new chief to take care of the district's things.
Will there be a video of this new chief driving from 3 to 3?
We're going to show what happens in the real fire districts where the chief really gets a driver, like San Francisco. I think she's a little young to be pushing all the buttons, but we'll try to make a real good day with that. With that, I'm available for any questions on the board.
Any questions? Thank you very much, Chief.
Thank you very much.
Right now, I'd like to adjust the agenda a little bit and move up to item H, presentation, PG&E. Staff.
Thank you, members of the board. As you know, the district experienced a gas outage in December of last year, which was a fairly major event for the community. In response, PG&E went through a root cause analysis, and I met with them probably about 3 weeks ago and had the opportunity to ask them detailed questions. I'll tell you candidly, I was impressed by the level of work that they did do, and they've asked for the opportunity to come and speak to the board. So we not only have Marcos Montes, who's a governmental relations representative, but a number of district level technical staff here as well that I think Marcos you want to introduce.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Good evening, board. Thank you for having us. Again, my name is Marcos Montes. I'm with PG&E's Public Affairs that supports our gas transmission operations. I'm here today with some of the folks from our leadership team. I'd like to introduce Terry Weiss, who's our Director of Facility Integrity Management with Gas Operations. Vinny Barnes is our Chief Integrity Management Engineer for Gas Transmission Operations. And then Vic Baker is our Senior Division Leader, our Division Manager that supports what we call the Diablo Division that encompasses Discovery Bay. So we are here as a follow-up meeting with General Manager Conceras about 3 weeks ago. We reviewed in detail the 3-page report on the root cause analysis. There is a 1-page summary that we put together for the board. It just has a briefing document, and it is available over on the table there. If the public would like to take a look. Essentially, what I'll do is just from a high level provide you my understanding of the event, and then I would like to invite Terry to come up and provide more depth as kind of the subject matter expert. But essentially, you know, PG&E stores natural gas at 3 underground storage facilities within the state of California. When gas is stored underground, it does collect moisture. We do have a process that extracts that moisture from our gas. And part of the reason we actually extract this gas during the winter is because that's when our demand is the highest for customers, so we need to do that to support the needs of our customers. On the night of the 27th, there was, during that process of extracting the moisture from the gas, there was a valve left open that allowed some moisture to get into the radar station here locally. With the colder temperatures and the moisture of the gas, it created a little bit of icing at the gas regulator station, which then caused the variance and fluctuation within the gas pressure, which was kind of the call for us to kind of go ahead and shut in that gas and get it repaired within 24 hours. So that's kind of just a very high level overview of the events of that evening. Again, I'd like to invite Terry White, who's our director of facility integrity management, to provide a little more depth, also to answer some questions related to the event. And for those of you that may have just general PG&E questions, if you'd like, you can catch it in the back and we can kind of take them offline if that's all right.
Thank you. Again, my name is Terry White. I'm the director of the Facility Integrity Management Group and the Asset and Risk Management Organization. I'm joined by Mr. Benny Gardens, who's our chief engineer. So there's really two reasons why we did this root cause. First, we're required by federal code to do it. Secondly, and more importantly, we really wanted to understand what happened. So in our effort to become a safer organization, learning from our mistakes is actually extremely important for us. So we did a very detailed analysis. We actually had a 13-member team do this root cause analysis. It went on for several months. Benny was one of the contributors. I was also. We had two industry experts participate, and we had a member from our nuclear facility join us to really do a peer review to ensure that what the results we came up with were credible and proven the right ones. And really what we were looking to understand is what happened, why it happened, and then what corrective actions we could put in place. Those corrective actions aren't just specific to the Discovery Bay and fire areas, they're really general across all of these. So Mark was saying you did a great introduction of actually what happened. So I can we can answer more of that through question and answer if you'd like. But I'll explain some more of the why it happened. So fundamentally we had one direct cause, and our direct cause is what happened. So as Mark was saying, a valve was left open and our storage facility that's upstream that feeds into this area. That valve that was left open allowed what we call wet gas, or unprocessed gas that comes out of the storage facility to get into the pipeline in our regulating facility that's off of the Vicksburg River was not designed to receive that type of gas. So our direct cause is a valve that's left open. Really what we want to understand is why it was not left open. We came up with three root causes. Two really are on the theme of management controls processes. So we assume that people are going to make mistakes. That is the real world. Human error is something that we have to design controls around, processes around, checks around. And two of our root causes were a conclusion that our processes around human error just weren't robust. Those could be approved, and then that human error element really would not have caused the type of event we had. The third root cause that we came up with was at that particular facility that's on Vicksburg Road. It could have been designed so that had liquids, if liquids are there, it wouldn't have had the same result. We wouldn't have had the loss of moisture. So those are three of the root causes. quick discussion on corrective actions. We have 31 corrective actions that we're proceeding with. We had 10 corrective actions in the days immediately following the Discover Bay event. We did not release our local crews. We kept them on 24 hours standby at the facility until we had all 10 of those actions addressed. Within those 10, we inserted those that are specific to that fixed our road facility. Those repairs have already been made, those upgrades, those modifications have been made. The remaining 21 is really focused on extended condition. So how do we ensure that the type of event that all of you experience doesn't happen elsewhere in the region? Some of those are long-ranging activities. These have all been logged in a database in PG&E that is SAP-based. It's a enterprise-level tool where we track these types of things. Directors such as myself report out on a monthly basis the status of those, and on a monthly basis we issue a report to myself and my leadership of where we are with all those corrective actions. High level, that answers, describes what we did, or have you any questions?
100%. Before I ask a question, I have to say that your response, the response time, your proactive approach was well received. I think you guys were excellent, and I appreciate it. You may have answered this question, I just didn't hear if you did. Is there some type of a fail-safe mechanism in place now so a valve will not be left open again, or if a valve is left open for a certain amount of time longer than it should be, that it will alarm somebody, or?
Yes, there's alarms. There's kind of multiple layers to that. So one, there's been alarm around that valve. But secondly, we've started a project to review all of the critical valves at that facility and all of the control systems at that facility to understand how we could revise the control systems at that facility to ensure that there are things like interlocks. And if that valve is open and we're on that type of process, that we actually can't go into that mode. That's a larger, longer duration activity.
I just want to comment about, I appreciate the follow-up on the corrective actions. I think it's important that the community alert system or whatever that looks like, it needs to be really consistent. There was multiple channels that were reporting different things going on, and with social media and neighbors talking to neighbors, it was really unclear what was going to happen to the timing of things. And so every way you can unify your messaging system better, I would encourage that. And then again, being quick to alert the local officials, at least that, hey, you know, we've got a problem and we're addressing it, or something, you know, the sooner the response, the better. And when I say local, I mean the town and the county. We're getting mixed signals from those folks and the county level or higher level in the state. And so by having a unified message, I know you got to gather information and stuff, but piecemealing that out more uniformly might be better.
And I can comment on that too, Terry. I know Tom Greeno, who's our local public affairs rep, who as many of you may know, because this did happen pretty much in the middle of the night. I'm part of our gas emergency preparedness team that gets called in. I get an alert and I was on call. So I was in our Bishop Ranch facility that evening trying to contact Tom, but because it was 2-3 o'clock in the morning and he wasn't on call, I didn't actually get to speak with him directly until about 7 o'clock in the morning, which I think contributed to it, but we definitely took that as positive feedback, and we'll make sure that we work with our local first responders and local officials more effectively.
And your system that you call in or get updates with, you know, your phone system or web alert system,
sure.
Hopefully that will be in sync with whatever.
So Mark, do you want to speak to that?
Sure.
Do you want to speak to that?
Yeah, I think Kevin
Mitchell. I'll make Baker Division Manager. I was here.
Sure.
So it was a lesson learned. Not too often do we have a 6,000 person or resident gas outage. We quickly identified what the cause was. And if you guys are interested, I'm more than happy to explain it to you. But our system was set up to receive these calls, and we have an automatic IVR that goes out when we see the number of calls, and the IVR is respected to our electric work. So you guys were hearing calls.
We
fixed that immediately. Matter of fact, we put it into play at our drain tanks, our emergency, which was a sinkhole in Moraga, and our gas went out, 300 residents, our gas, and it worked properly then. So we quickly went and fixed it. It works properly now for the response center. So we lesson learned. We didn't know that it existed, and that's this thing. So this problem had happened.
Any other questions?
I have just one. If I can just ask one question, and I appreciate getting the long, detailed version, but one part of it, and maybe I read it too quickly, talked about that there was a scaling error, and so that the readings on the Bixler Road station was not recorded, and I don't know if that goes into San Ramon. They were getting inaccurate readings. Could you explain what caused that and what the fix on that part was?
Sure, happy to. So the scaling error, there's multiple pieces of data that come out of the pressure control facility at Bixler Road. One of them is a moisture analyzer. The moisture analyzer tells us the amount of moisture or liquids that are present in the gas. There was a scaling error, basically it was off by about 50%. So there's a instrument at the facility that provides a signal. It goes through what's called our SCADA system, but basically a communication system that goes up to our gas control, which is in San Ramon. So it's multiple systems that have to talk to each other. On the interface of two systems, one said it was a 0 to 100 signal, and the other said I received a 0 to 50 signal. And so the consequence of that actually wasn't significant, because it was at the level that was so high, even with the scaling error, it went in falling. We addressed that. That was one of the 10 correct corrections that happened immediately. I think that was one of the 31 that we've actually reviewed all of those systems, all of those analyzers system-wide. I think with scaling error, it doesn't exist elsewhere.
Thank you. And then if I may make one last comment, and I just must because I've been doing the district's budget, is that the district, I guess this might be for Marcos or someone big, the district pays close to $1 million for a small community of 15,000. You know, we feel like, you know, there's a lot of funding going out, and I know I've had a couple conversations with Marco, which I really appreciate, to connect the district to expertise within PG&E to look at the levels of PG&E costs that we have at all of the variety of systems within the community, not only the wastewater plant, but the water. I understand there was a program to add LED lights, but that is just a huge budget item for the district. And if we could even cut a 5 or 10% each year, it would make a measurable difference to our residents.
And Vic actually does lead that team. Vic, if you can help me follow up with Jacqueline Clark, who supports the town, and also Irina from Quest is also supporting the energy efficiency measures. So we're definitely, Vic is the manager of that group. So we will take it back and make sure that Jacqueline and Quest follow up with you to address some of those energy needs.
Thank you. Really appreciate it.
PG&E, I want to thank you very much. I know we suffered a pretty devastating event back in December of 2015, but regardless of how it happened or what happened, your response was excellent. The amount of people that were out here, and the quality of the employees that came around each and every house, I was very, very impressed.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you for having us.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Director Lee, if I might, just before the members from PG&E leave, if there are any members of the public who have any questions or comments directly related to the presentation that are not general in nature, if they...
Well, I'd just like to build on what Director Steele had commented on, the communications. And I know you fixed one problem, but this was a great report, and your reaction was absolutely superb. The only thing we lacked was communications. And I would like to see that as one of your things. I was looking to see if it was on a report you didn't mention. A lot of people are very confused, as Director Steele had said. And if it wasn't for social media sharing information with each other, we really didn't know what was going on.
Well, I'll follow up. We did fix it. We did identify several corrective actions and put them in immediately. So the website was fixed, the IDR was fixed. in our social media as well. And
I think that's great. And if you add that to this, you got it. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Moving on, consent calendar. Motion?
Yeah, I'll make a motion.
I'll second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Monthly report, Veolia, Frank.
Good. So, for the month of September, doing our safe practices, training. Biggest one last month was, in case we ever do have an incident, all staff was trained on how to investigate incidents, and also had some of the town staff in on that training, so it went very well. All state monitor reports were submitted on time. All wells are running. About 105 million gallons was produced on production of water. All samples, you can see here on the water usage, we're kind of falling back into the 2014 rain. We had a good dip there in 2015, but the restrictions being lifted, we're creeping back up a little bit to the higher range of water production. And we're still about 20% reduction compared to our 2013. Wastewater is still running beautifully, well below our monitoring and permit limits. No issues, no permit violations. All lift stations are running beautifully. Flushing program hasn't started yet, and maintenance is still kicking it, taking care of all incidents, and keeping the backlog to a very, very minimum.
Bernie, when does the flushing program begin again?
We'll start sometime in the fall, because when we have lower water production, and it kind of freezes up from our maintenance, so we'll start sometime between November and March. We'll go out and do the flushing and the sewer manhole inspections.
Thank you. Any other questions of Bernie? Public board? Thank you.
Thank you.
First item of business is consider approval and adoption of Resolution 2016-7, amending parking usage rental policy.
Thank you, members of the board. Back in 2011, the district first approved a policy related to the use of park and recreation facilities. And one of the provisions in that policy related to how there was a waiver of the policy or the provisions of the policy, including waiver of fees. And what that provision said in general, if you want to look in your report, I think it's on the last page, second to last page, said that the district board of directors may waive the policies on a case-by-case basis, and that the general manager may modify or waive the policies on a time-sensitive nature. And when I have inquired and had my experience since February inquired over the past 3 or 4 years, on a very practical basis, it is the general manager who has been doing the waivers and the modifications sort of on a day-to-day basis. And I think that that's appropriate for that to continue, but it should be captured within a board policy. And my suggestion is as follows. One is not to change in any way that the board has the authority to amend or alter the policy on a case-by-case basis, but that the general manager have the authority to waive or adjust policies except for those that are listed as prohibited, like bringing alcohol in the establishment, things that are prohibited. Be able to do that, but when you do that, they must be listed on the next available board agenda so that there's full transparency and disclosure whenever a policy has been adjusted or modified. And then also, the basis of doing so is that it is in the public interest. So a good example of that is when the Chamber of Commerce and the newspaper, the Brentwood Press, wished to hold a candidates event. That is clearly in the public interest. In my opinion, there should be no cost for that. So what I've suggested here is that we state the reason for making those adjustments are it needs to be in the broad community interest, and that it needs to be listed on the next board agenda so that if you disagree with those decisions, you can communicate directly with the general manager going forward. So my recommendation is that you adopt Resolution 2016-17, which would make those changes. And Matt Kaiser, our recreational manager, noted one additional change that I would ask, and that is on page one of the policy. Currently, it states that any fees or deposits established needs to be paid by someone prior to the effective date of the permit. So if the Lions Club does Rocktoberfest, you pay on the, basically on the day. We would like that change to be prior to the approval of the permit. So, you know, in advance, we don't want to be the bill collector when we issue you the permit to have the space. We want you to pay us at the same time. So if I can add that one change to that as well, I'd appreciate it.
Any public comment? Seeing none, we'll close public comment. Any board discussion?
It's a good idea. Well presented.
Yeah, I support the changes also.
Is there a motion?
I'll make the motion, but I'll also change it.
As staff has suggested?
As staff suggested.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'll order it.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Item F2, consider approval and adoption of resolution 2016-18, amending facility fee schedule.
Thank you very much. This again comes from Matt Kaiser, our recreation manager, going through the policies related to the use of our facilities. There is no change to the actual fees in here. The fees are all remaining the same. We're not raising them or lowering them, but we are taking care of some language that we believe can be improved. And the first language has to do with the use of the swimming pool. It currently requires a 3-hour time period for reservation, and the staff believes that 2 hours is sufficient, and that's what the public is requesting, so we would like to make that change. Secondly, on the swimming pool, the existing policy identifies the number of lifeguards. We believe that our staff should be able to set the accurate number of lifeguards based on safety, and that may change on a case-by-case basis. So we'd like to take out the specific number and let our staff make that decision. And finally, the third change is lifeguards are required, but it doesn't say Town of Discovery Bay lifeguards, and we want to make it clear that it needs to be our own lifeguards, which we know are trained and certified, and we have our standards that we apply for them. And then lastly, the change is that, again, the district general manager can, on the finding that it's in the public interest, waive part or the entire facility fee, and that the waiver should be summarized on the next available board agenda. We ask for that change as well. So those are the changes, and they are encompassed in resolution 2016-18.
What would be the effective date of this action?
It would be immediate.
Thank you. Any public comment? Yes, ma'am.
I just want to make a comment that I don't see anything in regard to nonprofit.
And?
So the district, a number of years ago, because we actually went back and located a couple of years ago, made a decision to eliminate the distinction between not-for-profit. They were not put in a different category from the members of the public. It is resident or non-resident. What this change does, though, is specify that if a waiver is to occur, it is not based on the fact that someone might be a not-for-profit or a for-profit. It is, what is the activity? Is it in the broad community interest? And if so, that waiver or a reduction in fee can be done.
So the possession of a 501c3 certificate is not required. It's just a matter of whether this is in the public interest or not.
That is correct. John Muir Health is in the possession of a not-for-profit organization, yeah. And I would not give them that unless they were providing free shots for everyone.
Thank you. Any other comments? I'll close public comment. Any board member discussion?
I'll make the motion to approve it.
Second.
Then moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Are there any informational items?
You missed item 3.
We have one additional item, which is item number 3, and we received a letter regarding a young man in our community, Matthew Morgenstein. I hope it's Morgenstein, not Morgenstein, that is going to get his Eagle Award, and so I have prepared a letter for the vice chairs signature commending him on all of his hard work, and I'd ask that you authorize the vice chair to sign that letter.
Any public comment? Hearing none. Any board discussion?
Mr. Brady.
Your motion.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. I will be happy to sign that letter. Now, are there any information items?
I just have a couple items under general manager's report. Brian has done an exceptional job of getting us over to the next step of having the roof being taken off this building and a new great roof being put back on. And the start date is the day after Election Day. Is that correct?
Sure.
We've asked to move it to that point for a number of reasons. The second part is it means that it is highly likely that we will need to move the November 16th board meeting to the district offices. So we're just giving advance notice of that. That's the second meeting of the month, so better than the first. So wanted to let you know that. Secondly, we still have the COCO Vote program going on here, so residents can bring their ballots and drop it off at the community center. And lastly, we had quite a rainstorm last weekend, and if anyone loves mapping the way I do, if you can Google Contra Costa Flood Control Rain Gauge Program, you can see the up-to-date, up to every 30 minutes, what the rain totals are. In that storm, we had about, the last 7 days, 1.35 inches. And that's remarkable, considered our mean annual precipitation average is about 11 inches. So just about 10% all in that one storm. So great news for us. And I do want to commend our landscaping staff. I was coming back into town after a short vacation and was inquiring, why weren't we having the flooding and the issues on our roadway? And apparently Brian Miller took it upon himself to get his staff out there and clean the drains in advance of the storm. Great initiative, and I know we all really appreciate that we didn't have to set out cones. So just great work. Great work, Brian.
Thank you, Brian.
Let's see. President's report, director's comments. Any director's comments? Well, let me just follow up on what Chief Henderson mentioned about the California Special Districts Association. There was a meeting of about 800 representatives from California Special Districts, and the town of Discovery Bay received two recognitions, one for its District of Distinction and the other for the Transparency Certificate. So I just wanted to commend the directors and the staff for a job well done. It was recognized by the entire state of California. There weren't very many people up getting this award,
no,
so we are in the stratosphere of people that go through the extra effort. Each director and the staff putting together a lot of information, and I was very proud to get up there with Director Graves and accept those awards.
Thank you.
Can we get a raise?
Who's we? Everybody. The town gets the raise of knowing that they've got the district here.
That's
far more transparent than others. Yes. They've demonstrated it, and the directors and the staff have gone through a little bit extra training to understand
extra training.
The operations of special districts and how to run more efficiently and effectively.
Yep.
Manager's reports.
Matt and Brian, do you have anything else that you wish to add?
No, I think that's it.
We got it? Okay, gentlemen, thank you.
General manager's report.
I think I went through everything that I needed to go through this evening.
Legal counsel.
No report.
He's coming at the last minute. No report.
Pretty much.
Okay, subcommittee updates. Any updates from committees? Correspondence is in the package. Public record requests?
None. We have none.
Any future agenda items requested?
No.
Do I hear a motion for adjournment?
I'll make that motion.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you all for attending.